Planning Commission, and this is set for a public hearing on file number 1-TIA-25-AI and A2, an appeal of the Windhaven Phase 3 traffic impact analysis.
We've got to go through the top part first.
Right. And the first order of business is the roll call. So, Mr. Baer.
Here.
Ferraglio.
Here.
Brannigan's here.
Mr. Furman's here.
Mr. Updike.
Updike is here.
Okay. And you should call the other names.
Commissioner Hanselman and East are both excused for the meeting.
Oh. Okay, both of them are excused. Okay.
And
first order of business is really the approval of the minutes. We have two minutes to approve. One is the work session meeting minutes of September 22nd, and the other is the regular session meeting minutes of September 22nd.
Having read both sets of minutes, I move we approve them as written.
I will second that.
All in favor, or signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. The minutes are approved. Next up is the public comment. I see people kind of knew what they were doing, but there's a form immediately available in the back. If you haven't filled one out and you want to be a speaker, you may fill it out, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. So we do have a clock up there that because we have such a large audience. Okay. Now, before we get started,
you need to ask anybody. It's not on the agenda that anybody
has. Oh, okay.
You know, it's the procedure.
Is there anything not on the agenda that somebody would like to comment on, or? Everything's on the agenda. Okay. Okay. I need to read something. This is really for the public record. This statement applies to all hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the relevant criteria and the Newport Comprehensive Plan, the Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, which is abbreviated as LUBA, L-U-B-A, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period where the applicant can provide final argument. And we have people on Zoom, so there's a separate script for people on Zoom that I didn't pull out of my briefcase.
Here, I got it, Bill.
You got it.
Let's
judicial.
Zoom script now. Well, you must have it. Sorry.
Okay, since this is being done via Zoom, there is an additional script I need to read. This meeting is being conducted by Zoom video conference. Before we get started, I would like to provide staff a moment to identify individuals that have dialed in.
Thank you. We have David Peterson and Ann McIntyre.
And Mr. Updike. A few ground rules for using Zoom. Individuals wishing to speak should use the raise hand feature, which can be found by clicking on the participants button on the bottom of a computer screen, the raise hand button on the bottom of a smartphone, or by dialing *9 on a landline. I will call out the order of testimony in cases where multiple hands are raised. Please keep your microphone muted unless you are speaking. Press *6 to mute and unmute a landline. Persons may participate by video phone, and we can make the shared screen feature available for those that wish to make a presentation. Information shared with the commission in this manner is part of the record, and a copy of the materials will need to be provided to staff. At this time, I would ask commission members to disclose any actual or potential financial interest, bias, ex parte contacts, or site visits they may have related to this agenda item.
Done. I have visited the site, and I have periodically visited some residents who live in the
Pacific
area
Beach.
Where the appellants reside.
Okay.
Done.
Did a drive-by type thing. John, do you have any? Okay. If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any commissioner or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection now. Okay, not seeing any. This is a quasi-judicial hearing for the purpose of considering file number 1-TIA-25-A1 and A2, the appeal of Windhaven Phase 3 traffic impact analysis. The Planning Commission may, at the request of a participant or on its own accord, continue the hearing to a date certain to provide an opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimony related to the approval criteria. Before we get started, there's a few announcements. The hearing will proceed in the following order. The staff will give a report. The applicants then have testimony. Persons in favor will be able to address the commission, followed by persons opposed. The applicant then has a rebuttal, and the record will then close for public testimony, at which time the commission will deliberate, have questions, and come up with a verbal decision. A final order and findings will be prepared for consideration at the next meeting. And due to the time constraints, because we've got so many people here, the applicant will be allocated up to 15 minutes for presentations. The applicant will also receive up to 5 minutes for final rebuttal. All others wishing to testify will be given 3 minutes each, and we would like you to not to stick to the facts, and if you've heard a lot of the These tend to be repetitive. You may still speak, but make it very quick. Thank you. Okay. Staff.
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development Director, City of Newport. As you mentioned in the initial comments, we have an appeal here of a traffic impact analysis for a 90-unit apartment complex. It's Windhaven Phase 3. It's third and final phase of the Windhaven projects, at least to my knowledge. Property is currently undeveloped, and it's situated immediately south of Northeast 36th Street and immediately west of Northeast Harney Street. Just a little housekeeping here real quick. Just to note for the record, there were two documents that were submitted by 3 p.m. today, which we were able to pass on to the Planning Commission. One was a letter from Alan Rankin, and the other was two letters, one from Patty and then the other from Mark Stanifer. And then you had one from Gary and Linda Hurley that we distributed here. It came in at the absolute end of the day, so we just had to distribute it to you guys around the dais. We have received a request for continuance from one of the appellants, Michael Capelli, who couldn't be here tonight. And so that's one thing for the commission to keep in mind. We're conducting a public hearing here, but per Oregon revised statute, if you have a request for continuance prior to the close of the initial evidentiary hearing, and this is the initial evidentiary hearing, we must grant a continuance of at least 7 days, or you can do an open record period. So once this hearing's all done, everybody's had a chance to testify, we can talk about the schedule, and I have a couple options I can set out for you. Okay. So traffic impact analysis is an administrative decision in the structure of the city's code, which means it's made by city staff with an opportunity for it to be appealed to the Planning Commission if folks don't like the decision. Now, comments and feedback and concerns should be related and are only relevant if they are related to the approval criteria, because that's all the Planning Commission can base its decision on, is the approval criteria. And so as folks come up tonight, I think it's very important that they relate their comments to approval criteria, because that's, or at least frame them in a manner in which the commission can see how they relate to approval criteria, because that's what's most relevant here. Those standards are found in Chapter 14.45.020 and 14.45.050 of the Newport Municipal Code, but they're also all listed specifically in the final order and findings that staff prepared and mailed out to everybody who had provided comment during the public comment period. I think there's over 90 of these out. So a lot of folks have had an opportunity to take a look at this and read through this and see what those approval criteria are in advance of this hearing. So for 14.45.020, you know, that a pre-application meeting is conducted. And that's a required element here to basically scope out, you know, how extensive the traffic impact analysis needs to be, what intersections need to be evaluated, so on and so forth. That pre-application meeting was held as required, as documented in this document. That the traffic impact analysis be prepared by a licensed engineer that has expertise in transportation planning and engineering matters. In this case, you have one that was Lancaster Mobley is the engineering firm, and the report was prepared by a licensed engineer. So that standard has been met. That when evaluating whether or not a traffic impact analysis is required and the level of traffic impact associated with the development, we have to use the Institute of Transportation Engineers, or what we call ITE, formulas for calculating traffic, both PM peak hour traffic and average daily traffic. And so the threshold for a traffic impact analysis is 50 PM peak hour trips and or 500 daily trips. And the analysis showed that those thresholds were exceeded, and thus a traffic impact analysis was needed. The intersectional level analysis is required if you have enough vehicle trips at each intersection, and that intersection level analysis was performed in the report that was prepared by Lancaster Mobley. Transportation planning rule can come into play In circumstances where somebody's requesting an amendment to the comprehensive plan, or they're looking at changing the land use regulations. And the transportation planning rule then sets out a number of standards about adequacy of transportation facilities. That's not relevant in this case because this applicant is looking to develop their property in accordance with existing zoning that's been in place for several decades. So they're not asking that the comprehensive plan be amended to allow more units than are currently allowed. They're not asking for the land use regulations to be amended to allow something that's not currently allowed. Therefore, as stipulated in the code, the transportation planning rule is not in play in these circumstances. Level of service standards the city put in place are met. You know, level of service is quantified basically from level of service A down to level of service F, where F is, as you would think, fail, not working, whereas A is working exceptionally well, and then you have every gradient down below. For this, on a two-way stops, which are common here, your level of service is set at E, so it does anticipate a fair amount of delay as long as the queuing is available, and that standard's been met as documented in the report by Lancaster Mobley. Structural conditions of the road have to be assessed, and they were assessed by Lancaster Mobley. I'll touch on those in a minute. Heavy vehicle routes can come into play in certain circumstances for development that has a large number of heavy vehicles. That's not the case here. We're talking about multifamily development. You're talking about passenger vehicles, not big heavy trucks. And then phase development is considered, and it is considered here. It was considered in the report that Lancaster Mobley prepared in 23. It accounted for all of the Wind Haven phases, all three were accounted for as part of that with the anticipated build out this year. Now for this appeal, and I'll let the appellant speak to that, they did choose to update the report to reflect the 2027 build out, but that hasn't changed the circumstances, and they can talk to you and explain to you why that's the case. There's some comments that came in I'll speak to with respect to Big Creek Road. Big Creek Road had been closed for an extended period of time because of the condition of the bridge there. That repair has been completed, so it was appropriate for us to assume that travelway, which some number of vehicle trips utilize Big Creek Road one way to the south, be considered open and viable since it will be open, or that work has been completed before this project it goes online. In terms of the condition of the roads, and if you have specific questions about the assessment that Mobley did, that their folks are here and they can speak to it, but they assessed it, and there are localized areas where we do have very clear signs of wear, but they are normal wear and tear in terms of their characterization. It's attributed to existing background traffic. Little Creek Apartments, for example, have been here for decades. Not something that would be attributable to the applicant, and these are collector roadways that have been designed to handle a fairly large volume of traffic, and therefore they are suitable for the 607 daily trips that are anticipated with this particular project. You know, I'll speak to a few comments that were addressed in the decision. I'm happy to answer any questions you have on it, but there were a number of comments that were raised both in the appeals and in the comments from the public that came in they're perfectly reasonable comments to be made. They're just not related to the approval criteria, you know, and so, some folks expressed, hey, there are very limited opportunities to influence this project. And as the Planning Commission knows, when it comes to housing in particular, that's the environment we're in now. The legislature has tightened that up considerably, and so needed housing is a major issue statewide, and we have made a number of amendments, as the members around this dais know, of amending our code to comply with those state laws, which require clear and objective standards for the approval of housing. Housing that will be built on here will be built to clear and objective standards, are not subject to public review. Loss of privacy, green space, property value impacts, I think I would note, and I noted in the decision, this property, again, has been zoned for multifamily development for decades. It's always been, there's always been a chance that this property would develop with multifamily development, which involves the removal of vegetation to construct homes or apartment buildings and things of that nature. And so Yes, there's an impact on green space, but it's, you know, it's not public green space. It's private property and their right to develop their property. They are modifying their site design to move some of the buildings a little bit further back from the Pacific Homes Beach Club, where they face properties on the west side, and that's to comply with clear and objective standards. But again, it's not something that's subject of the appeal hearing, because the appeal hearing relates to traffic impact analysis, not setback requirements for buildings. So, you know, at this juncture on privacy, you just have to trust that the setbacks that have been built into the municipal code that are clear and objective will be sufficient for addressing that issue. Comments came in related to wastewater capacity of water systems. The city has long known that this property can develop with multifamily and how many units could be developed on it, and has designed its water and wastewater systems accordingly. Again, it's not a traffic impact analysis issue, but I'll address it because it came up in public comment, and I addressed it in the decision as well, because, you know, it's important for folks to know that existing zoning is something that's been factored into all of our facility plans. ODOT concurred with their traffic impact analysis, so they agree in terms of, you know, how that analysis was done and its recommendations as it relates to intersections at 31st and 101 and 36th and 101. You know, we'd love to have a signal on the highway on 36th, ideally, because 31st would be very hard to accommodate it. The challenge we run into is we've got vehicle trips that disperse multiple different directions. They go out to 36th and 101, 31st and 101, or we go down Big Creek Road. And we don't have enough vehicle trips to meet state warrants for a signal, and thus that's not something that is required or could be required. And to be frank, if it was required of the applicant, we would not be requiring them to pay for all of it. We'd have to figure out how that gets paid for in an equitable way. But again, in this case, it's not warranted. Therefore, we can't go down that path. There will be increased delays. That's associated with additional development. But the analysis shows that there's sufficient queuing, and that, you know, those delays meet our standards. And therefore, further improvements are not warranted. I will touch on the conditions of approval briefly that we did include in here. Again, the applicant, these decisions are based on the analysis that they provide, and so we're relying on their professional engineer's analysis. Two, that the applicant is responsible for doing sidewalk work along their frontage and tying it in with their phase two project. It's something we've discussed with them in detail in the past, and they're aware of what that is. They'll be required to do some street improvement work where they're gonna be damaging the roadway, just as they did with phases one and two. After they did their sewer work, they came in and resurfaced Harney and 31st. They'll be required to do that kind of work if they damage the roadway with their heavy construction equipment during the course of construction, or again, with the utility work. There are two full movement driveway approaches on their plans that they'll need to, and their access is limited to what they're showing. There's some vegetation clearing they'll need to do on their driveway approaches just to ensure that vehicles entering and exiting their property have good line of sight. And then they'll need to obtain a right-of-way permit for the work they do within the public road right-of-way. So with that, that's the extent of my report and kind of synopsis of the approval criteria and how they've been met. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Bob?
Yeah, is the applicant going to be asking for any variances or adjustments?
Not that I'm aware of.
Any other questions of staff?
The applicant going to be here today?
Yeah, they're here.
Okay. Next order of business is the applicant testimony. And Mr. Capelli is not here tonight. However,
it's a little confusing. Who's the applicant?
In this case, the applicant is the applicant for the traffic impact analysis. So that would be Todd Woodley, who's with Cobalt Development, Windhaven Ridge 3, and his
the original applicant.
applicant. Associates.
The original applicant.
Yeah, this is
right.
Anybody going to be here from Windhaven?
Yes, that's the applicant. They're going to speak now.
Yeah. Okay, could we have the applicant?
Yeah, you guys are up.
If you could state your name and where you live.
Name's Todd Woodley. I live at Baker City, Oregon, and I represent the applicant, Windhaven Ridge 3 LLC.
Okay.
Okay. And I believe I have 15 minutes, and I'll try to use as little of that as possible.
Okay.
Good evening. Thanks for letting us be here to offer our supplemental information. I'm going to introduce two people, technical folks, to help with any questions that may come up. First of all, I introduce Todd Mobley, who's our traffic engineer and who was the professional engineer that stamped the reports. The only supplemental, well, the other person is David Peterson, who's our land use consultant, who is here to answer questions regarding the land use applicability to the traffic study. And then regarding information that I would like to present, it's simply to note that everything's in the record as it was submitted. The new information we submitted has been an update to the traffic study by Mr. Mobley that basically addressed some of the concerns that were brought up in the comments. So that's, other than that, that's the only new engineering information we've added. I'd like to turn it over now to David, who wants to introduce a few things relative to land use.
Thank you, Todd. Can you all hear me all right?
Yeah, we can Great. Hear you.
Yes. Sure. So my name is David Peterson. I'm with the law firm Tonkin Torp. My address is 1300 Southwest 5th Avenue, Suite 2400, Portland, 97201. So as you know, the proposed project is a 90-unit apartment building. It's in the R4 high-density multifamily zone. It's phase three, which is the final phase of the Windhaven Ridge project. And it's an outright permitted use, except that because of the traffic to be generated by the project, the city must approve a TIA, traffic impact analysis. So I wanted to just give a little background on how the traffic impact analysis review section period goes. So upon receipt of the application, the city and ODOT scoped the issues to be evaluated in the TIA with the applicant, and they ultimately settled on five impacted intersections, the intervening road segments, the site access driveways. They evaluated traffic both before and after build-out. So this took place in 2023, meaning they evaluated the condition of traffic as it existed in 2023, and then after this phase was expected to be completed in 2025. They also evaluated bicycle and pedestrian needs, crash patterns, and the sufficiency of intersection site distances at the site driveways. So as we all know, the project has been delayed a bit, and here we are in 2025, and they're just getting ready to start construction. So the supplemental TI that Mr. Mobley prepared and was submitted with my comments last Thursday updates those two features of the report. So now the current conditions are set in 2025 as they exist today, which, by the way, includes the reopened bridge on Big Creek Road. And the build-out conditions are what is expected in 2027. And the most important feature of that supplemental TIA is that nothing is different. The expected traffic is the same. The impacts on the studied intersections and road segments are the same. And the conclusions of the report that warrants and triggers were not met for certain intersection improvements and street improvements are still the same. So the city reviewed that traffic impact analysis, as did ODOT, which agreed with it, and they imposed some conditions to address project impacts. They imposed a condition requiring sidewalk improvements on 36th and Harney, plus a new pedestrian crossing at Harney and Lakewood. They require the applicant to resurface 36th and Harney along the frontage. They've restricted the in and out to two full site access driveways, and they've required the applicant to clear the areas around the driveways to provide adequate site distance. So these are impacts of the project on the transportation system that the project applicant is rightly required to mitigate by meeting these conditions. And therein lies the extent of my knowledge of traffic engineering, and Mr. Mobley is there, and he can answer in person any more detailed questions you might have. I'm going to turn to my area of expertise, which is land use law. Now, as you all know, this approval is a land use decision, and land use decisions must be supported by substantial evidence that the approval criteria are met. As Mr. Tokos talked about, issues outside the scope of the criteria are not relevant. So in this case, the only issue before the community development director and now before you is whether this TIA meets the approval criteria, which are set forth in Duport Municipal Code Section 14.45050. And I'm going to go through those. There's five of them. I'm going to go through them briefly here in a minute. But I want to point out that findings about criteria must be supported by substantial evidence. And in this case, the substantial evidence supporting the director's findings are the TIA. Now, for this commission to overturn those findings would require substantial evidence that could reasonably support the conclusion that one or more of the criteria are not met. And in this case, there is no such evidence. All the evidence in the record upon which the decision maker could possibly rely shows that the criteria are met. So as I said, I wanted to go through those one by one. You can find them on page 5 of the conclusions attached to the final order. The first criterion is compliance with Newport Municipal Code 14.45020. That code section sets forth the requirements that a TIA must contain, the content that must be in there. And if you look at conclusions paragraph 2, you can see that Mr. Tokos evaluated that in quite detail and found the TIA met all those requirements. The second criterion is really the kind of where the rubber hits the road. The TIA must demonstrate the adequacy of transportation facilities to serve the project and identify mitigation measures that address impacts. So as I mentioned, the TIA and the supplemental TIA show that after project build out, there's no warrants that have been met for traffic signals at any affected intersection. There's no left turn lanes that needed to be constructed or recommended. And there's no other impacts warranting mitigation other than those that have already been imposed by conditions of the rule. The third criterion is if you're amending the comp plan or the zoning code, you have to show compliance with the state transportation planning rule. As Mr. Tokos mentioned, that's not applicable here. Number 4, you must show compliance with city level of service and volume to capacity standards. And both the TIA and supplemental TIA do this. All evaluated facilities will meet city standards after project build-out. And importantly, there's no contrary evidence in the record suggesting that those conclusions are incorrect. And then lastly, the fifth criterion is they must construct the improvements to city standards. That's been imposed as a condition of approval as well. So simply put, with the few conditions imposed, all traffic standards of the city will be met after project build-out and all project impacts mitigated. All the evidence in the record demonstrates that conclusion. So with my remaining few minutes, I want to take on some of the issues raised in the appeals. I'm not going to take on every one here. I took them on one by one in the written materials that I've submitted, and you can take a look there, but I do want to address some of the larger ones here. The first issue raised by both appellants is that the traffic impact analysis is too old. Well, in and of itself, that's not true. Traffic impact analyses do have a long shelf life, and quite often you are relying on counts and data that was taken several years in the past. But at any rate, we've updated the TIA with the supplement, and the supplement shows that the data in the initial report is just as good today as it was when the original report was written. One of the appellants raised a question about the one-way gravel road on Harney and the now-reopened bridge. Well, both of those traffic features are accounted for in both the TIA and the supplemental TIA. And if you have any questions about how that is so, please ask Mr. Mobley. The appellants are looking for improvements at Highway 101 and 36th, but the impact analysis shows that none of the warrants are met that would justify putting in a traffic signal at those locations, and there's no contrary evidence to suggest otherwise. ODOT agrees with the applicant and the city on that point. Visibility issues at the intersections of 31st and 32nd. Well, those may or may not exist, but to the extent they exist, they've not been created or exacerbated by this project. Those will be there whether or not this project is ever built, and they won't change as a consequence of this project. So that may be something the city needs to address, but they cannot be a condition of approval to be imposed upon the applicant to fix. That would violate, among other things, the applicant's constitutional rights to not have its private property taken without public compensation. And then lastly, Mr. Dwyer in his appeal attached as an exhibit the July 2021 memorandum from DKS Engineering. Now, this was a memorandum prepared for the city as a preliminary study in advance of the city's update of its transportation system plan, which eventually happened in 2022. And I just want to read a couple sentences from the first page of that study, assuming I can find it. And here we go. And this is what it says in the introduction to that memo. While projects documented in this memo are needed to develop a future multimodal transportation system for Newport, funding will not be available to construct all recommended capital improvements. The projects presented in this memo are still preliminary and will be refined prior to implementation of the transportation system plan. Furthermore, inclusion of a project in this memo does not commit the city of Newport to its ultimate construction. So Mr. Dwyer's reliance on some suggestions in a preliminary memo in 2021, some of which did ultimately make it into the city's transportation systems plan and some of which didn't, most notably the idea that 36th would be one way eastbound from 32nd to Harney, that did not make it into the transportation system plan at all. So that's hardly evidence that those improvements should be installed now. So with that, I will leave it to if you have any questions for either me or Mr. Mobley, or otherwise, we'll be back in touch at rebuttal time.
That's all we have.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Question from Mr. Mobley. During either the initial preparation of the impact analysis or the update, did you take a look at that intersection of 31st and 32nd? And do you acknowledge that there are problems there?
Well, it wasn't identified as one of the study area intersections in the scoping exercise, primarily because we only had through traffic on 31st. So we didn't do traffic counts and analyze it there, because it's a private street intersection, and we don't add trips to the minor street approach.
Well, I don't believe that's a private intersection. It's part of the road. Where that stop sign is and the...
We're talking about the intersection of 31st and 101. That was assessed in the report.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, we're talking about the intersection of 30th and 31st. Where the gate is and the two
I
stop
see.
Signs. And
well, yeah, the Pacific...
31st and 32nd.
That's what I meant, yeah.
That is a private road. That is a private driveway going up there. Those are not public streets up there.
Yeah,
Pacific Homes Beach Club, but those aren't public streets.
31st
is public.
Right.
32nd and going up into Pacific Homes Beach Club, that's private.
Right, but the intersection is still a public road.
The intersection of 101 and 31st.
No, the intersection of 31st and 32nd is what I'm talking about.
That's where it curves. Splits off, okay.
Yeah, where you have to bear to the left to go up into Pacific Home. So I'm asked, did you even look at that?
Well, it wasn't identified for specific study in the intersection, but I will note that because the westbound approach has a stop sign as well, additional traffic on 31st wouldn't increase delay for people exiting that neighborhood. Because everybody at the stop sign will still have to stop if there's more volume at that stop
sign. If they
were
to stop, yeah. Yeah.
If they stop.
Okay, thank you. You answered the question.
Any other questions we have?
In looking at the map that someone presented on behalf of the applicant, we see the proposed phase 3, and it looks as though there's some traffic pattern being directed up on 36th Street. Is there a way to preclude traffic from phase 3 to using 32nd or 31st Street?
No, there's not really a practical way to do that. This site does have access to 36th and then also to Harney on the east side of the site. Since those are all connected roadways, trips would be free to select whichever route they'd prefer.
Sometimes on projects that come before this body, the applicant meets with the surrounding neighbors in advance and tries to address any potential issues. What steps did Windenhaven take in meeting the folks up at the Pacific Beach Club to address some of their concerns?
Well, Well, the TIA is subject tonight, and as part of the TIA, we didn't have a neighborhood meeting. That's not a standard requirement or procedure as part of the TIA. Whether that was done or where that requirement lands,
so you're saying outside you made no expertise. Outreach.
I'm sorry, say that again?
You're saying you made no outreach to residents of the Beach Club community?
No, not as part of the traffic impact analysis.
Thank you.
Other questions?
There was some comments about the construction traffic when we're talking about heavy vehicles. What do you see as a volume during construction of those kinds of vehicles?
The TIA is tasked with looking at conditions after the site is built out because that's when it will generate the most trips. So we didn't really analyze conditions during construction. It's not an applicable approval criteria. Some of the conditions of approval for like resurfacing to damaged roads, that sort of thing. But in terms of volume of construction vehicles, it's outside of the scope of the TIA.
Okay. I mean, Derek, might it be possible to place a condition that heavy construction vehicles only use 36th? Because we don't want them going across Big Creek Road.
We can certainly consider something like that. I'll talk to our right-of-way folks. But, yeah, that's something we could do if we felt that was the most appropriate way to have them direct their construction traffic. We have the authority to do that under the right-of-way permit that they'll have to pull.
I'd like to consider that at some point.
Okay. I did want to just mention one thing, just to be clear. There is no through access into Pacific Home to Beach Club from this development. So I think it was to Braulio, your comments. These folks from this 90-unit apartment complex could utilize 31st, but they're not utilizing 32nd. There's no through traffic through Pacific Homes Beach Club.
Right.
So just for the record.
But doesn't 32nd kind of... You come off of 101, you go down 32nd, and aren't there issues on the road, cracks and little ups and downs on it?
That's 31st.
That's 31st.
That's 31st.
They fixed it.
32nd goes up the hill, and then you have the internal roadway network in Pacific Homes Beach Club, and it's all self-contained. There's no outside access into that area.
Other questions? Hearing none. Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have persons in favor. Okay. Then we have the persons in opposed. And first up is Elaine Lynch.
Do you have to do the actual... two people that submitted appeals?
Well, no. She's going to do that.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually here on behalf of Michael Capelli, who's
right.
on vacation
okay.
and won't be
Sorry.
Back until the 22nd. So he filed his appeal, and these are some highlights he wanted to address if you were here. Bullet points.
Could you address which of the documents are you quoting from?
The appeal by Michael Capelli.
Okay, thank you. That was the first. It was
submitted on the 28th of August, I believe. And I also submitted for copies of his highlights. So here we go. The order relies exclusively on the May of 2023 TIA. There are no findings or conclusions indicating that any post-2023 data was gathered or reviewed by the Commission during the 27-month gap between the date of the TIA and the matter this August. The order is silent on any issues relating to traffic flow that might reasonably impact vehicle and pedestrian travel between Harney Street and 31st Street. Argument supported by conclusion one of the order, which states approval of this land use permit is based on the traffic impact analysis report prepared by Lancaster Mobley dated May 10th, 2023. There's no evidence of any meaningful post-2023 analysis since the phase two went in. It's impossible to conclude that the 2023 TIA is timely and temporary assessment of now existing conditions. PHBC asks, Michael Capelli asks, The order is defective on its face and should be reversed or stayed for further fact assessment. Conclusion 2 of the order fails to provide any evidence of an assessment of traffic impact upon 31st Street, including the stop sign at 32nd Street into PHBC. There's no evidence of any assessment on the 2023 TIA or during the 27-month gap and the present. Note, we are not raising any issues that involve ingress and egress from Highway 101 to 31st. If you'll see on the traffic assessment in 2023, figures 2, 3, 4, and 5, pages 10 to 15 of the TIA don't even address our intersection or stop sign. Conclusions of 2F and 2G of the order also reference the inspection of the physical conditions of the relevant roads, potholes, pavement cracks, etc. The only issue mentioned that might conceivably relate to the traffic flow at all is the report's statistical finding of the possible increase of 607 vehicle trips coming from the subject property. There's no specific findings in the 2023 TIA as what information was considered with respect to phases 1 and 2 complexes. There are no findings as to whether any data was compiled or aggregated into the report demonstrating an assessment of the current and actual impact of trip generation from the existing Windhaven complexes on Northeast 31st. PHP, or Michael Capelli asks, the commission to order a new or revised TIA that considers traffic along 31st and the intersection of our development. Issue 3, conclusion 5D acknowledges that additional traffic resulting from the construction of the apartment complex will increase queuing and crossing delays from 31st to 101. These increases create an increased probability that the unmarked intersection will block vehicles from entering and exiting PHBC into and from 31st Street. Specifically, the longer it takes for a vehicle to access 101, as the report admits, the more likely there'll be queuing of cars blocking access to 32nd Street. We're only talking about a backup of 4 or 5 cars is all it will take to cause the blockage. Unmarked intersection and queuing will block ingress and egress from PHBC. Blocking of this intersection is already occurring. Witnesses present tonight will address specific incidents of increased traffic, blocking of vehicles, pedestrian hazards to beach access, incidents of blown stop sign, and roll-throughs that have placed drivers and pedestrians in danger. The appeal specifically addresses the actual hazards associated with the failure of the report to assess the actual traffic flow along 31st Street at 32nd. Photos of the conditions are included in Mr. Capelli's appeal. Painted warnings or flashing light speed controls could be placed in advance of the approach by vehicles traveling west on 31st toward the stop sign, which is actually on a berm, and you'll see it in the photos in the appeal. The notice of the August 12, 25 hearing was insufficient because it only went out to 4 homeowners in our development, and actually the land that runs between Pacific Homes Beach Club and the new development is actually owned by all 207 owners up on our hill. It's basically a strip of common land that on our deeds say we all own. So it was our thought all of us should have been notified. Residents only found out about the hearing by word of mouth. That's why we had such a big turnout. I think we had 100 replies. Similarly, it does not appear that all owners received notice of the hearing. That is it in a summary, and I want to thank you all for listening to us.
Okay. We didn't get, could we get your name? And
yeah, my name is Elaine Lynch, and I actually have my own thing that I'd like to read maybe later when my voice comes back. But this was from Mr. Capelli. He typed it up before he left on vacation.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Other people opposed, and... Of what?
There's a second applicant that would be possibly wanting to speak now.
I missed that one.
It's Dwyer.
Mr. Dwyer isn't here.
He's not?
I talked to him and he's not going to.
Okay. All right. Sorry. He's not.
Okay. So we have other people who would like to speak to oppose. We'll keep it to 3 minutes, and we have a clock up on the wall. So since Ms. Lynch is up the first, she can come back and finish up.
Oh, okay. We have a sip of water first. Hold on.
Hello again. I'm Elaine Lynch, and I've lived, and I'm just going to read these comments real quick. I live at Pacific Homes Beach Club. Our only exit, as you know now, is 32nd Street and 31st. For the following reasons, I'm requesting a new traffic impact analysis. First, the May 2023 TIA did not address the stop at 32nd Street, as you can see from the figures in the TIA. Prior to October of 2021, there were only 68 houses driving west along 31st to 32nd Street. When phase one at Wind David Ridge went in, it doubled the traffic with their 66 units added. There's always been a blind spot going west on 31st Street at the intersection with 32nd Street and a blind spot going east on 31st Street and turning left onto 32nd. I moved here 13 years ago. For the first 9 years living here, that intersection has been a livable issue to deal with because most homeowners in those 68 houses stay in their home over 5 years and knew to stop at the stop sign. With the apartments turning over more frequently than non-rentals, there is a never-ending stream of new drivers unaware of that stop. In 2024, when phase two went in with an additional 84 units, the near misses I lived through and those that my neighbors experienced have been weekly. Here's a personal example. In 2024, I stopped at 32nd Street to exit onto 31st. No one was coming that I could see. No one was at the stop sign anyway. Luckily, I started to creep onto 31st Street, as I learned, and a blue truck flew through the stop. I threw my hands up, and the driver stopped at the entry to 101, rolled down the window, and I pulled over and asked what was wrong. I told him he didn't stop at the stop sign. He had no idea that it was there and apologized profusely. It happened just again last week, and this time it was a tan sedan, and I'm tired of being afraid for the safety of my car. I mean, they're not blowing through at 60 miles an hour, but I'm not getting younger, and I don't feel like going to the hospital. Now with phase three pending the biggest units yet, 90, I fear serious crashes will start to happen. I shouldn't have to stop at 32nd Street and creep out into 31st Street because of a new development. I'm asking for improved signage, advanced signage such as flashing lights, and perhaps an extra traffic bump that's being removed from Ocean. This will save lives. I ask that each of you see for yourself, turn right off 101 at 31st Street, see the blind spot, drive to the first development that's on your right, that's phase two, turn around and drive back 101. I just ask you to experience it for yourself. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Question, have there been any actual accidents reportable to the police at that intersection?
I don't know. Maybe someone with some experience on how to get that information from the police could answer that question.
Thank you.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
When did you or other members of your community know that the approval of the traffic analysis and of the phase three of Windhaven? How long?
Well, we always knew about phase three because that was always the plan from the beginning.
Yeah.
But when I found out, and I believe everybody found out when the traffic analysis, and Derek could probably describe to it better, when the notice went out to the four people who live on Douglas Street that there was a meeting going on August 12th, I think.
I have a question. This piggybacks on what Bob's question he had, because I was going to ask the same thing, but Has anybody made a request to the police department to maybe go up there and enforce or
The thought had occurred to a lot of us, but we figured that would just be a temporary thing. They'd monitor it for a week, and that would be the end of it. And then because there's so much turnover in apartment dwelling, you know, the next people who move in, they won't see it either. It needs to be an intersection that needs improvement.
Okay, thank you, Elaine.
Thanks.
Next up is Patty Stanifer.
Hello. I live over at Pacific Homes Beach Club, and I walk every day. I walk around the neighborhood. I walk up and down the hill, the entrance. I walk across the street and walk the stairs, sometimes go to the beach. And so I see the traffic increase. And so a while ago, I decided to start counting cars and seeing how many cars were going through and not stopping at the stop sign. So on October 3rd, 4 cars ran through the stop sign in 2 minutes. On the 4th, 5 cars ran through in 1 minute. On October 5th, 14 cars ran through the stop sign in 5 minutes. On October 6th, 12 cars ran through the stop sign without stopping. Some of them don't even stop at 101. They continue through. And we do get construction trucks that go through there and don't stop either. This is all new. This is all in the last few years. It's really scary. I also did a thing where I pretended to walk across the road, and I had 1 foot on the street, 1 on the curb, and anywhere from 7 to 10 cars would fly right by me until someone stopped. And then all those times, I think I saw 4 cars totally stop completely at that sign. And one of them sat there on her phone texting. It was the only one I saw. That's what it's like now. And it's very dangerous to go down there and walk. It's dangerous to cross that 2-lane road across the street for us. And I'm healthy. I can run. But some of the people that live there can't run anymore, you know? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Laurel Cochran. Cochran. If you'd state your name for us clearly.
You said the second half. Laurel Cochran. I live in Pacific Homes Beach Club as well. And as was mentioned before, many of us have lived in Pacific Homes Beach Club for quite some time. Personally, I moved there in 2018 before phase one for a couple of years, and there was a slight difference in increase in traffic after phase one. With phase two, there was quite a bit more traffic, and during the time that it was finished until the present time, I have been wanting to go on to 31st from 32nd and have almost been hit 3 times, and one time coming back off of 101 to 31st to go up into 32nd, and we have the right of way. There is no stoppage for us. We can turn and go right there. Someone coming through that stop sign just barreled right through it. I just had to skid to a stop in the right hand corner, and I pointed at the stop sign, and he turned around and gave me the finger. It's just not a safe intersection. And to add to the issues on 31st, that sloughs off and has sloughed off into the ditch several times in the last 10 years.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara Carrill.
My name is Barbara Turrell. I'm the office manager for Pacific Homes Beach Club.
I've been the office manager for about 2.5 years. And Mr. Tokos, it's so nice to see you because I wasn't able to get your attention to come and present to the homeowners about this issue. So I'm glad to see you here tonight. So I'm just going to say one story, which is about one homeowner. His name is Roger Allen. He lives on Douglas Street, which is one of the streets that's right behind, runs along the far east side of the property of Pacific Homes Beach Club. So it's close to where the development is happening. So in any case, he came into my office. He was very angry. He said that he had nearly been hit by somebody blowing through the stop sign. So he was very angry. So he went to the city and he yelled at somebody, probably in the planning department, and said that something needed to be done. And he came back and nothing was done. So then he yelled at somebody else in the city. I'm not quite sure who that was. But eventually somebody came and painted a line along the where the stop line would be. I guess there wasn't one for some time. He also wanted people to cut the brush back because that's city property. And one of the problems about the visibility at that stop sign is that it's oftentimes completely blocked by the brush. He even offered to cut it. So, and as an office manager, I can tell you that hardly a week goes by that I don't hear from a resident that they have nearly been hit. Or at night, they have often, this is another problem at night, it hasn't, I think Laurel mentioned it, at night, we have to hope that the person coming west off of 31st knows to stop. Otherwise, you just have to, you have to wait if you see somebody coming, because the chances are they don't know and they're not going to stop. So there's sometimes that problem that happens. And I also just want to say that PHBC is a community of elderly folks, senior folks who have multiple problems. And one of the things that we worry about is the emergency vehicles being able to get up there and the number of times emergency vehicles have to get up there and have to get out of there. So if there's blockages, they can't get out. So I just raise that as an issue, and I don't see that addressed anywhere. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, Sandra Amsden, if you have any new information.
I'm Sandy Amsden, and I live up in Pacific Homes Beach Club. I just wanted to tell you about three incidents that I've been involved in the last couple months. In each case, I was headed east on 31st Street, already signaling for a left turn into PHBC, when a car approached heading west towards me. The first time, the oncoming car flew past the stop sign and I stopped before turning. The second time, an oncoming vehicle stopped for a minute at the stop sign and then proceeded to go straight ahead, nearly broadsiding me when I turned. And the third time, the oncoming car stopped at the stop sign for a second, and I was watching his wheels so I could tell he wasn't going to come to a full stop. Sure enough, he stepped on the gas and plowed right past me. Apparently, people think they can stop for a second and then go full speed ahead without noticing oncoming traffic that has the right-of-way. I have also been in lines of cars going west on 31st where traffic is backed up trying to get onto Highway 101. This is a dangerous part of the street. It has been all summer, and I hope you can make that stop sign at the end of our driveway on 31st and 32nd there more visible so drivers who are not paying attention will be able to see it in time to stop. If there should be lights around the sign or before you get to the sign. Remember, there's a slight hill going west, and the stop sign at the end of our driveway is at the top of that hill, so westbound drivers don't really see it if they're going too fast. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Can I add one thing to my comment about police?
Go ahead. Microphone, please.
I did make a report to the police. I got the license number of a car that I had seen run that stop sign once before, and because he almost caught me one time, I took his license plate down and reported him, and it was addressed by the police. So in answer to, has anyone reported to the police? I have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mark Stanifer.
Hi there. Mark Stanifer, 334 Northeast 32nd Street.
We've heard a lot about the traffic issue, so
yes.
I think we're looking for some new information.
Okay, some new information. It seemed to sound as though our stop at the bottom of 32nd Street was not considered a legal stop as a private community. Is that the understanding on this? Because it seems to us a legal stop. If it's not, we should just be able to take that stop sign out and go through. It's not being enforced on 31st Street. So the point is, 31st Street stop, is a cresting hill. And as a cresting hill, we cannot see them approaching. And as they approach and blow through it and flip us off, and sometimes in excess of 20 miles an hour, they're running through. And we're just going to get T-boned right there. And the same thing as we come back into our homes, a legal left into our homes, they're blowing through Cresting Hill. Which,
so your question is the stop sign on 32nd, which is the road that goes into the Pacific Beach Club, is that a legal stop sign? Is that what you were saying?
I'm not saying going in, it's coming out.
Coming out.
It's only coming out. So we have the right-of-way going in, but very close accidents. And so what I think we're asking for in a couple of the speakers is a speed bump or other mitigating means, and we hope that the planning department would have even more constructive means of doing this, along with enforcement. But we have, since 2023, a very big increase in traffic.
Right.
And I don't think that TIA came anywhere close to that. And we are in danger. And the crosswalk, a crosswalk that would be needed going over to the Newport access to the beach, that as well. But we need something going on here, because this is a very serious, dangerous situation that we have. We're commenting only on traffic on this, where other broader comments were made on the development. But 1, 2, and 3 phases, high volume, too dangerous for us. So thank you for allowing us to speak on this, and we certainly hope we can get some improvements. Thank you.
Okay. Harlow Hodge.
I'm Marlo Hodge. I'm new, fairly new to Pacific Homes Beach Club. I moved there in November of last year. I'll try to skip over some of the common things you've heard. This morning, I decided I typically walk quite a bit, and I was very attracted to Pacific Homes Beach Club because you could walk to the beach. What I immediately learned was the same kind of thing you've heard over and over again is it's very hard to cross right there at where 31st or 32nd hits 31st, and you should be able to cross and go down the stairs and go underneath and go over to the beach or go on the trail. There's a beautiful trail there. I'm curious if any of you have been to the community where we live. Have any of you recently been there?
Been a few years, but I used to go up there very frequently.
I invite any of you, I personally invite you to come walk it with me. I will show it to you. I'll make it coffee. You know, seriously, I invite you to come check it out, because I think that's important to see what you're looking at, that what we're talking about. This morning, I took my phone before my husband had a doctor's appointment. I videotaped 18 people go through that stop sign in 40 minutes. Now, today's Columbus Day. I don't know that everybody went to work this morning, but when a couple months ago, I had my eight-year-old, we were crossing to go to the trail, and she fought me over holding my hand because she knows everything. And I explained, you have to hold my hand because people run the stop sign. Well, thank God the guy ran the stop sign. I proved it wrong. And the same guy this morning, I caught him on video. I know now what the van is. I know the license plate. I know he saw us. She had bright purple on. You couldn't miss her. And he continued, even though we were in the middle of the road, he drove around us. So what these people are all saying is real. It's true. It's not made up. And I think one thing that I kind of put down in my notes is, yes, all the criteria have been met. All the TIA information is satisfactory. But sometimes what's on paper isn't what's in reality. I think, yeah, you've crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's, but you haven't been there to see this. And I've only been there since November. I don't have the experience everybody else has there. But I know just when I go walking, it's, you know, if I drive, it's a hazard. I mean, we got queued up at leaving the gate the other morning going to a doctor's appointment. There were four people leaving. We couldn't go because you don't just pull out of the stop sign when someone out of our stop sign coming out of 32nd onto 31st because you don't trust that stop sign. You do not trust that those people are stopping. So I don't know if you have questions, but I do encourage you to come check it out.
I would like to ask a question. That video you have of 18 people running the stop sign?
It's 18 people who ran the stop sign in 40 minutes.
Have you ever shown it to any city official, like a city councilman or the public works or the police department or the city manager?
I'm happy to share it with whoever.
She just did it this morning.
Yeah, I took it this morning. Yeah, I just took it this morning. Today's been a busy day. So, yes, I would
certainly share it with the police department.
I would do it, yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I would share it with if it were me, I used to be a city manager, used to be a policeman too at one time, but I would share it with the city manager.
Okay, that's good. Okay, thank you.
A lot of the issues that you've brought up, I mean, this is really a hearing on the transportation impact analysis. I think we hear you about people blowing through the stop sign and potentially causing major impacts. Together with we have residents coming out wanting to go down to the beach across a crosswalk, and there's no crosswalk there, so. A lot of you are afraid to cut across because you might get run over by people blowing through the stop sign.
Is there
a lot of that doesn't necessarily have anything really to do with the TIA, but it is a problem. And I would certainly recommend that one or some of you go to the next city council meeting and bring those issues up. And the city council is really the people who can address a lot of those issues.
I would recommend that all of you go to the city council meeting and talk through this stuff, because ours is a fairly technical issue here. And we're restricted to looking at the criteria, and if they're met, we have to approve it. And the objections you're bringing are incredibly valid. I had no idea it was that bad. I knew it was nasty, but no idea it was that bad. And you really do need to do something. And I'm sure Derek will talk to city manager about it, maybe even get it on the agenda of the city council meeting. But you can always testify before the city council during public comment And I think you'll get people's attentions with the kind of emotional testimony we've heard here today.
That video is...
You kind of stopped me, and I didn't get to say anything about... What about evacuations? Are the people in the apartments going to yield to us getting out of there? And having that many more cars a day? I'm just curious if that's... Is that a consideration when they do the TIA? I read a little bit of it, but that many more cars are... Because we're one way out, are they really going to yield to let us out?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can I ask one clarification?
I just want to make sure I understood that the TIA in 2023, even though it doesn't address our intersection, is still valid. Is that correct?
They did a supplemental this year, and the supplemental reaffirmed what was done in 2023.
You are correct that your intersection was not one of the five that was analyzed in 2023.
But the whole TIA was kind of redone.
And that's okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I thought so.
Thank you.
I'll speed up very briefly here. Again, the way the traffic impact analysis is set up is there's a pre-application meeting for purpose, and that's to scope the extent of the study. They met with the city engineer, myself, we looked at that carefully, and the city engineer identified that, yes, and ODOT was part of that discussion as well, the five intersections that would have intersection-level analysis done. All five of those intersections are addressed in the TIA, and all five, I would note, have vehicle trips attributed to the applicant's project. Now, there are lots of intersections along these roads that tie into the highway where the Lancaster picked up existing background traffic. So background traffic from Pacific Homes Beach Club and Lakewood Hills and all these other areas were addressed and considered as part of the report. So I just want to be clear about that.
But that specific intersection was not on the list.
Correct.
Okay.
And you are who?
Cece Kelly.
Okay.
Who is it that makes the decisions about what streets are going to be addressed and which ones aren't? And that's why we're all here tonight. Everybody seems to be saying a lot of chatter about 36th Street, has nothing at all to say about what's going on with all this testimony that you've heard tonight. I sell real estate at Pacific Homes Beach Club quite a bit, and I will tell you that people, they come to that development because they can reach the ocean by crossing under the US 101. We definitely need something like a crosswalk, some flashing lights, you know, some kind of blockage, at least to get people to slow down. And okay, if you've got a problem with it being on a berm, it's always been like that, but now we've got more traffic and it's been way worse. These people have given up their Monday night to come and tell you these things because we're begging you to help us.
Again, I'd really recommend you go to the city council since you do sell real estate and are a business person. And the city council, my experience with the city council is they take their job very seriously and they will listen to you. And if, you know, they can control public works and all the other functions of the city to address your needs.
They'll have to direct you if they can't help you. They'll direct
you. Correct.
Liz is the bomb. They're great.
Correct. Okay. I think that ends all the papers that we have now. So we now have the applicant's rebuttal, if they have one.
Thank you very much. David Peterson, once again. I just want to talk quickly about two common themes that came up in the opposition testimony, and I'm going to try not to belabor the point too much, but there were a lot of testimony about lawbreakers. You know, I'm a driver. Everybody here is probably a driver. We're all sympathetic when other people don't follow the traffic laws. I completely understand that. But if I have an intersection with a stop sign near my house that people keep running, is the solution to stop another apartment project from going in near my neighborhood? That doesn't really strike me as the right way to go. I think, you know, the remedy is better enforcement. I'm sorry?
No, I was asking the people here okay. to be quiet.
You know, the remedy is better enforcement, better public improvements. You know, I think the commissioner's suggestion to take us up with the city council or the public works department or the police department, I think those are all great suggestions, but not relevant to what's going on here, which is an evaluation of the traffic impact analysis and whether it has adequately accounted for the trips to be generated by this project and the additional impact that those trips will have on the transportation system and mitigation of those impacts. You know, and traffic engineering has to assume compliance with traffic laws. To do otherwise would render it useless. I mean, how could one possibly quantify, you know, the impact of law-breaking drivers? And more to the point, how does one figure out where those law-breaking drivers come from? I think implicit in a lot of the comments we've heard is all these law-breaking drivers must necessarily be coming from Windhaven. Well, I mean, Windhaven 3 doesn't even exist yet, so zero of them are coming from Windhaven, right? I mean, I think people who run stop signs could be drivers from anywhere. So, you know, I do hope that the members of this community do, you know, take advantage of the opportunity to get their public servants to respond to their concerns, but that's not an issue that this applicant can be obligated to fix. Then I want to talk, the last thing I want to talk about is queuing at westbound 101, or on 31st westbound at 101. So somebody in the opposition testimony testified, well, if more cars are on the system as a result of Windhaven 3, that's going to cause more cars to queue westbound at 101, and they're going to queue back into this intersection and block it. Well, so first of all, it's important to understand that that intersection was, in fact, analyzed in the TIA and determined that with the traffic from this project and all other background traffic, including Pacific Homes Beach Club, that kind of queuing would actually not occur. But even if it did, you've got another stop sign westbound on 31st before this intersection. So that stop sign is going to act effectively as like a meter. So if you've got enough cars backed up on 101 to get back to that intersection, the next car is obligated to stop at that stop sign, not drive into the intersection and just sit there, right? And then cars are going to stop behind that car. So if anything, that kind of queuing, I think, would make your intersection more safe. But that's not really the point. The point is that the evidence in the record shows that the traffic impacts from this project are not going to trigger the kind of queuing that was speculated to. And that's why the warrants haven't been met for improvements at 101. And that's why ODOT agrees with the analysis. So, you know, I think on balance, you know, I haven't heard any evidence. I haven't seen any evidence in the record to really question the conclusions, the findings of the TIA, the conclusions of the TIA, and the analysis of those conclusions by the community development director and ODOT. So I hope that this commission will uphold the TIA and allow this project to proceed. I don't know if my client is there. I can sort of see the top of his head. I'm not sure if he wants to speak, so I'm going to stop now.
Thanks, David. Thank you. I'd like to add a couple other points, and they aren't really rebuttals. They're more of trying to address the problem. First of all, there was a discussion of construction phase impacts. And one thing that I'd like to bring forward regarding that is that it's very easy for us as the applicant to essentially restrict any construction traffic from going down 32nd or 31st Street. In other words, route everything onto 36th. That is a construction phase activity that we can control. Now, we can't control what the public does once it's turned over to the public. But for the concerns during the phase of construction, we have absolutely no problem developing a traffic control plan that would mitigate as much of the traffic on 32nd and 31st as we possibly could.
So you will do that?
Yes, absolutely.
And you wouldn't object if we had a simple condition?
Not at all. We can absolutely work with that.
Thank you. Because Big Creek Road can't handle those trucks in 31st.
Correct. 36. Secondly, to the degree that we identify a community problem at this intersection, again, aside from an overturning of a TIA, as part of conditions that we're willing to work with is, you know, again, we're willing to enhance the visibility of stop signs. We're willing to invest in a flashing stop sign and some other moderate, reasonable mitigation measures on our own. It's a larger problem that the city needs to address on their own. But as far as the things that we can do, we're not opposed to helping solve the problem. It's just not our problem to solve explicitly. So, again, acknowledging being good neighbors and willing to do what we can, certainly within reason. And I think anything to do with visibility regarding people not viewing stop signs, one other thing we can do. We can do outreach to any residents we currently have. There is no harm in explaining the situation, explaining that all these people are our neighbors, and please be courteous. I know it's, you know, it's not enforcement per se, but it's public education for everybody living in the area. And so we'd be glad to have an outreach to our residents, pleading with them, please behave traffic laws. And furthermore, if we have to participate in some specialized near-term enforcement to set the tone, we're willing to do that too. So, yeah, that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we had a request for continuance from one of the appellants, Michael Capelli. And so, again, per statute, we have to go down that route. And so I do have a schedule if you want to kind of take a look at it real okay. quick.
So is the record closed or we keep the record open?
You'd keep the record open.
Okay.
And probably the most efficient approach would be for you to continue to your next regular scheduled meeting date, which would be October 27th, I believe, at 7 p.m. You could do an open record period, but the way the logistics work with open record, which would be no additional hearing, just people could provide written testimonies. You then have to provide an opportunity to rebut new evidence in writing, and then the applicant has final argument in writing, and that actually extends it out further than simply just continuing it 2 weeks. So my recommendation would be for you to just go ahead and continue this hearing to October 27th at 7 p.m.
Does that require a motion?
I guess that will require a motion.
Okay.
I move we continue this hearing to October 27th at 7 p.m. at our regularly scheduled meeting. All of you are welcome back, as well as anybody else. We will complete the process.
I will second that.
Thank you.
In favor?
Aye.
Okay. We have a unanimous. Okay. Thank you, folks. Appreciate the comments.
If we could just briefly, before we pick up the next hearing item, we skipped the action items. We got a final order and findings on Toyota. If we could go ahead and take care of those, that'd be fantastic.
Okay. I'll just wait for the mob to sort of move.
We're not trying to
help. How are you? I didn't know you were living up there. Good luck. You stay safe. Okay.
We still have the Planning Commission still has some business to do. Okay.
Action item is file number 2-CUP-25, final order and findings of fact for a conditional use permit for Toyota of Newport. Okay.
I move we approve the final order and findings for whatever it was.
For Toyota
I'll
of Newport.
I'll second that.
Newport, yeah.
I will second that.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Rolio.
Aye.
I wasn't present for the hearing, so I'm just going to abstain.
Abstain. Mr. Updike.
Yes, okay. Aye.
Yeah, we got a,
okay.
Got a quorum.
Okay, next up, getting late. City Center Design Review District form-based code amendments.
Ready for staff? Okay. Derek Tokos, Community Development. These are a package of amendments that the Planning Commission's had a chance to, they follow the policy component that the council's already adopted and which you recommended favorably to council. So this is the form-based code piece that goes along with it. It amends chapters 1403, 06, 1409, 1414, 1415, 1430, and 1444 of the municipal code. The details of the changes are included in the draft ordinance, which was attached to your packet in Exhibit A, and then there's also an attachment E, which is the form-based code district document that Herbsworks put together. Excuse me. Marcy's not here tonight, but she was here for the three previous work sessions where the Planning Commission considered this on the 28th of July, the 11th of August, and the 25th of August. So this is a package. At the last one, you looked at guidelines, and we cleaned up the guideline language and included that in this packet as well. I would note there was one typo I caught, and I apologize for that, but it was...
I ran out of time.
Huh?
There's probably more, but I ran out of time.
It's under Table A. It's the footnote 10, and there's a reference to...
you missed it?
1430-200. There's no 1430-200. That should have been 1430-030, and I can pick up that change. It was just a bad cross reference.
I knew you'd catch that one, so okay.
outside of that, I mean, again, you know, these the form based code is you know the difference. One, the biggie is residential is now much more permissible within our commercial zones. That's part of this package. We spent some time at the work sessions talking about that. And the other is the standards that are in the design standards to foster kind of building massing that's kind of a Main Street style building pattern, orients, kind of frames the streets, corner entrances, really designed to facilitate kind of that live work, residential retail type, you know, development, mixed development. So the plan is that if this is recommended, this goes to council. Herbsworks is still putting together some illustrations to match up with guidelines. I just don't have those yet, but they should be available by the time this gets to council. And they're for guidance purposes.
Somewhere just caught my eye a thing about food carts, and that they are not allowed in the city center core or something, but I didn't see any definition of that core section where they're not allowed. I'm sure we're not saying they're not allowed in the whole design district. We had that three, the two on the end.
Yeah, that'd be
the
amendment to, that's the amendment to 1409. And I'm just going to flip over there real quick. Which would be the temporary uses. Yeah, we talked about this in work session, and this would be that they would be treated the same as they are in Nye Beach and the Bayfront, which is pods are permissible, but individual ones are not.
Right.
And I believe we talked about the geographic boundaries there being the not the full district, but the traditional downtown. Yep.
Right.
It's tied to the traditional downtown area.
Right.
Which is
Where's the map of traditional downtown?
It's in the comp plan. I can add that in. It is in the comprehensive. It was in the package of amendments that went to council. So okay. We do have that. It's in the comp plan.
Right. As long as it's defined.
It is defined,
somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. In policy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Hmm?
There's, is this the map you're talking
no.
about?
No.
No.
Okay. Other questions of Derek? Observations? Okay.
Any testimony?
No testimony. Okay. We need to have a
recommendation
to send this to the city council.
Sure, let's do that. I move that we recommend approval of the code changes included in file 4-Z-25
right.
To update the municipal code to handle the design review district.
I will second that.
All in favor? Aye.
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 John?
You got my aye.
Oh, okay.
Another aye. Aye.
Aye, aye. Aye, aye. Okay. Next on the agenda is the new business.
Yeah, the only thing I had additional to share with you at this point would be the DLCD rulemaking that you didn't have a chance to get to at the last meeting since I wasn't at your last meeting. And I appreciate your patience with that and me kind of juggling things around. I was actually, you know, traveling back and had built an extra day and still lost it because of some pretty crazy things that happened in Dublin, Ireland.
That's okay, but try not to do that to us again.
Well, Nina did a good job of running the meeting.
You were running
compliments to Nina.
Yeah. No, I appreciate everybody's help in that regard.
I want that on the record.
I'm not going to dive in, do a deep dive, certainly not at this point, but I did want to note that there are a number of provisions in here that we're going to need to monitor. The system development charge, work that the state's doing. We're going to fire up our work on our methodology probably March, April. We're trying to time it to coincide with recommendations coming out of a updated stormwater master plan. So we want as many current master plans as possible because those are the projects we have to account for in the system development charge methodology. And it looks like some things will be percolating out of the state rulemaking process with that we're going to need to watch because it's likely to come out as a mandate of some form that we have to follow. There's some work on urbanization and wetlands planning rulemaking that we're going to want to watch because it's going to influence kind of the wetland permitting process. Most of our wetlands, particularly in South Beach, are fairly large and are true wetlands. But some of the permitting problems, particularly housing developers have run into at times, are very, very small wetlands that say weren't there historically. Maybe they were created because of some earthwork that was done or clogged culverts or things of that nature, and they end up having a very long and involved process to make changes in those areas. And I think that's what the push point was at the legislature, and I suspect that's what some of the rulemaking work's going to focus on.
I had a thought, if you don't mind, Derek.
Sure.
One of the comments in the last hearing we had
mm-hmm.
was about they're building on a wetland area.
Mm-hmm.
That lot is a designated wetland. It's not, is it?
Which one? Where the Toyota of Newport's building?
No, I didn't mean that. The previous one, the Windhaven.
There are wetlands on the property, but not where they're building.
Okay.
So, that's a fairly large property, and the wetlands are further to the south. The state's doing another model code. We'll have to watch that. There's going to be some coastal access rulemaking and be interesting to see, you know, how that plays and what the focus is. Obviously, you know, we're a coastal community, so that could come into play. In addition, there's a Senate bill, 504, that's requiring rulemaking with respect to non-structural, natural-based solutions to shoreline stabilization. Now, we did that previously with the cobble revetment over at Hatfield, and they had to go through a fairly involved process to get that in place. I suspect that's going to look at those types of approaches and others that maybe we haven't thought about that could be a lighter touch as opposed to BRAP. A lot of the other stuff, on here is probably not all that relevant. I will note we just received word that we're being awarded a grant through the Department of Land Conservation and Development, housing related. This is going to be used to fund the development of a toolkit for small and medium-sized cities who are potentially interested in standing up a rental housing maintenance program. When we took a run at that previously as a Newport specific and didn't get the funds, and the advice I had from them was, they were concerned that we might not implement at the end of the day, and then what do they have for the money that they turned over to the city and pay a consultant, so on and so forth. And their suggestion, which I took on and reframed it, is frame it as a toolkit that any small or medium-sized city could use. And in this case, it's going to be a DLCD, or Department of Land Conservation Development, awarded contract, which means it's not going to be somebody we put out for request for proposal. They're going to select off of a short list of consultants to do it. But what we did agree to do is step up and help with engagement. So pulling in, because you may recall when we did the housing production strategy, I believe that was the single, by far, biggest issue that came up when we did community engagement was folks in rental housing saying, somebody needs to engage with some of these rental property owners because the condition of these units is just not great in many circumstances, and folks don't know what they can do. There's a program already in place for affordable housing, but there's nothing that deals with market rate. And, you know,
state funds?
The grant's going to be state funds, going to be paying a consultant to put that toolkit together, because most of the examples you'll see out there of jurisdictions that have a rental maintenance program are big jurisdictions, big cities, where they can afford or they have the staff capacity to just kind of absorb that. Smaller communities, that's not in the cards. They have to be more creative. So that'll be a resource hit on our end. We'll have to staff it and provide, you know, do some coordination stuff once this gears up. The other thing is I don't know exactly when it's going to gear up because it's in the state's hands. They're going to have to get back to us as to when that's going to be in the queue because they just awarded a bunch of housing grants, and so it's going to have to be part of that package. And since they're the ones engaging the consultant, I got to figure out, okay, when's that likely to happen, because we'll want to know so that we can – accommodate and be prepared for that when it happens. So that's all I had. I didn't want to, unless you had any specific questions about what was in the DLCD policy agenda, I am good.
You know, I've got a question. This goes back to the first hearing we had.
Mm-hmm.
Are there bus stops, school kids bus stops on that, in that area up there?
School's a harder one for me. I'm not sure where schools.
Not on Pacific Beach Club. It's a 55.
That's what I thought.
And
it wouldn't be, well, fair. That's fair at that location. There could very well be one at Windhaven Phase 2, though.
Right.
You know.
So I was kind of wondering.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring it up. I think there is one at that development just to the north of Pacific Homes. What is that called? Along 36th on the left-hand side.
You've got, off 36, you've got Little Creek Apartments up there.
Yeah.
There
was a mention somewhere here about a possible additional stop should the Lincoln County Transit require it or need it on Harney somewhere.
Right. And that's, because it's not big enough to trigger a dedicated stop, but they can, work into their program in terms of where they
okay.
pull in and out.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Hey.
Let's go on.
All right.
Maybe John has some questions. Okay, we are finished.
Thank you.
One more, Derek. Do you? I don't have.